304. Now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Mr. Gray?
2539887. Let's make sure you're not concealing a bunch of flowers about your person. Step forward. Now, show me the palms of your hands. Back of your hands. Remove your shirt without touching the pockets. Okay. Turn out the pockets. No. Throw your shirt into that bin. Hold up your arms. Let me see your left arm.
We present The Incarceration of Hubert Gray by Sean Prendergast, with Sean Prendergast as James Davis and Nigel Anthony as Hubert Gray.
And behind. Right here. And behind. Drop your trousers. Now lift up your private parts. Peel back the foreskin. Turn around. Bend and spread. Straighten up. Turn out left trouser pocket. Right trouser pocket. Now do up your pants. Take a fresh vest from that pile. Put it on. Thank you, Mr. Simpson. Please release the door. Right, Gray. Now you can see the governor, you piece of shit.
Take him through.
Well, probably don't feel like talking, do you, Gray? I suppose it's all been a bit sudden, a bit of a shock. And that's all right, Mr. Diamond. No need for you to stay. I can manage.
Regulations state that a prison officer...
Sort out the accommodation matter we discussed. Leave the bump.
Yes, Governor.
Between you and me, our Mr. Diamond is a fine man, but he hasn't really adapted to privatization. Still lurks in the dark ages in some respects. And now... extraordinary document you'll file. Name at Lloyd's. Well, that's not unheard of. High media profile. Again, it's not unknown. But it's when one reads about your... money seems an inadequate word. Your sheer wealth that one has to rub one's eyes. One would have thought that you, with your vast fortune, would be above the law. Experience suggests that in Britain today, a man of your reputation and resources could have, whatever, strangled a party of schoolchildren and got, what, at worst, a few weeks in an open prison and a convenient case of Alzheimer's. And yet, here you are, on the heath, with all the other... dregs is the term that springs to mind, though in old-fashioned sociological terms I say it as shouldn't. So, surprise. Wasn't there some story of you giving orders for 1,000 bottles of champagne to be chilled in anticipation of your release from custody? Oh. They should be very cold indeed by the time you get round to opening them. 7 years for a man of your wealth. Think you can survive? Do you, Gray?
Of course I can. You're quite right, Governor. I didn't anticipate the verdict, but the battle is not over. I confidently expect to be drinking that champagne very soon. There will be further developments.
Wheels within wheels, cogs in motion.
Just so.
Quietly confident. Nice clock, isn't it? You weren't looking at the time, were you? If I were you, that's a habit I try and break. It's Swiss, with an extra loud movement. When I was appointed here, they said with every tick of its movement, we'd make money.
A pleasant thought.
Well, at first I was skeptical. Private prison, that relaxed regime, recreational facilities. I thought that if the promises were fulfilled, we wouldn't even break even. But I've been proved wrong.
Initially, you were thinking like a prison governor and not a businesswoman.
I imagine you appreciate the difference.
Better than anyone. The deal looks gilt-edged, but it's a very thin leaf. Eh? Insurance policies always have little clauses which prove vital. Pension funds aren't tamper-proof. Guns will be sold wherever there's a market, whatever the politicians say.
Palms, even illustrious palms, are there for the greasing, yes?
Well, in my dealings with some of the most important families in the land, I can safely say that a backhander, once handed, is never handed back.
I wasn't asking for a bribe.
At this stage, I don't need to offer one. A bribe is like a kiss. Where, when, why, with whom, these are the vital details. With a bribe, the constituent parts are so much more important than the sum. You must forgive me waxing lyrical about corruption and duplicity. I hold degrees in both.
You admit it?
Of course. Because I'm an honest man.
Have you seen our prospectus?
Yes, of course, I'm a shareholder.
Well, I read that in your file.
How gratifying to know my guardian has a sense of humour.
Oh, laughter is currency in here, as valuable as tobacco. But of course, we must never forget the seriousness of the situation. For instance, many people on the outside are anxious that your case should never come to appeal.
I'll bet they are.
My sources say a contract has been put out on your life.
Really? What price?
That's irrelevant.
Price is everything. What do they think I'm worth?
It's a trade secret. Anyway, this is one piece of private enterprise I intend to discourage. You'll be placed in the segregation wing, where the majority of prisoners can't get at you. You'll be free to move about in safety.
Very well, that will be satisfactory.
For the immediate future, we don't have an empty room, so Mr. Diamond is going to arrange for you to share.
Oh, now, just wait a minute.
There's a problem?
No, not only have I read the prospectus, but I helped draw it up. I am paying for privilege. And I expect a single room of excellent standard.
But the contract you signed in court clearly states that resources will be supplied subject to availability. Please bear with us. I assure you, we'll do everything we can to organize things to your satisfaction as soon as possible.
Well, who will I be sharing with?
The name's Davis. Remember Davis? You do. James Davis.
Now the joke has gone too far. The Davis. This is intolerable. I did not intend to share.
A temporary measure, I assure you. Prisoner Gray is returning to the black sector.
Yes, Jane.
Off you go, then. I'll keep in touch.
Don't make an enemy of me, dear lady.
Nothing could be further from my thoughts. Off you go, Hubert. Off you swagger. Safe behind your money. Let's see how you cope with prison when you're sharing a cell with a beast.
You cut my hand, you slag. Who'd have thought there'd be a tooth left in your skull to catch a knuckle on, eh, Davis? They should have all been beaten out long ago. Well, that's what's wrong with this country. No attention to detail. Oh, I'm bushed. It's a young man's game, the rough stuff. Oh, I could do with a snout. I must take more exercise. Yeah. How are you doing? Had enough? Another kick in the nuts? A couple of last smacks of the kidneys for old time's sake? Don't slump when I'm talking to you. Have we got a deal?
Maybe.
Don't get tricksy. You start taking the mick, and me and the lads might have to take you for a little walk down the wing. Lose you for 5 minutes. Remember the last time? 6 weeks in hospital, wasn't it? Wipe the smile off your face.
I've been spat at.
kicked, punched, and pissed on for so long now. It's a way of life. I'm not scared.
You're not human. But you're a bloody good actor, aren't you? Fooled that lord. He thinks he can get you out soon. But at the end of the day, whatever the trick cyclist says, it'll all depend on the governor's report. You do this little favour for us, and she'll write a nice little letter saying what a reformed character you are.
Ah, oh, this is a beating with a purpose, a business beating. Yeah. What do you want?
Just watch Grey like a hawk. Tell me everything he says. Before you know it, you'll be outside. Set up your own business. Perverts Incorporated. Well, come on, Davis, give us a couple of gags.
Perverts Incorporated. Company name, Boys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
At the annual meeting, they have dinner, then after they have coffee, someone hands around the underage. What's the difference?
All right, you can do it.
But I'm not a pervert, Mr. Davis. I don't like that term, pervert. It's meaningless. You suggest I sexually abused those children. I didn't. I strangled them. There's a difference. I was mentally ill.
You were as mad as a box of frogs. You still are. But if you really want the day to dawn when you can walk more than 7 paces without turning round, you'll think on what I've said. And if you're considering turning me down, then cast your eyes about you at your precious books and papers, this library of yours. Your paper. Paper burns.
New prisoner, Mr. Diamond.
Your roommate's arrived. Right, we've got a deal.
In principle.
Spoken like a city gent.
But tell me one thing.
What?
Why are you willing to help me get parole?
Simple. I want you outside, where the families can get a crack at you. Right, Mr. Harris, bring him through.
I wish to formally protest.
Step forward, Gray. Take no notice of Davis. He cut himself shaving. Well, what do you think of your new quarters? Bit of all right, eh?
I was born and grew up in a family of 8 who shared 2 rooms. I'm no stranger to overcrowding or poor conditions.
But what about living with rats?
In my time,
you two should get along fine. No trouble, Davis.
Oh, me? Oh, I'm a peaceable man, Mr. Diamond. I don't even head back. I had enough violence to last a lifetime.
Stay that way.
I'm Davis.
I know.
You don't look well.
I'm A1.
Heart trouble, the paper said. I must have fluttered a bit when the judge gave you the news. You've been shit on me. I think he's not one of my teeth.
Good. Then shut up. Read a book. You have enough of them.
I'm working on the world's biggest joke book. See, these files, 28,000 gags and counting, so if you ever need cheering up. Over the years, there's been loads of gags about you, you know. Oh, military service, decorated, hush-hush intelligence, distinguished business tycoon. I even read somewhere you could hypnotize people.
And you believe this?
Oh, I need more knowledge. That's the point, isn't it? As you said at the European summit, it's the new commodity, information. I couldn't agree more. I was just saying the same thing to myself last week. Solitary confinement, it's easy to stop thinking. But I think all the time. I read the newspapers. I know things. They've brought the Flintstones back. I keep up on world events, royal divorces, scandals in the city. Nothing escapes my beady eye. What are you doing?
Sitting down.
What are you doing sitting down in my chair?
Resting.
What are you doing, Tommy, sitting down in my chair without asking me?
I won't ask you for anything. I wouldn't ask for your spit if I was in flame.
Ooh.
If I want something, give it to me and don't argue. I'll be out of this cell soon. Just now, I am tired, very tired, so shut up. Let me collect my thoughts. I'm tired. Don't speak to me again.
I've lived here longer than you. It gives me rights. That's my bed.
Not anymore.
You're a private prisoner.
Of course.
Oh, careful. Costly.
It's not an issue.
Oh, you're in here now, mate. Money's the only issue.
I can afford anything I want.
You sure about that?
Quite.
You see, they don't have a fixed rate. Everything costs the price of so many units, true. But the cost of each individual unit isn't fixed. to work it out according to an exchange rate based upon the size of your fortune. That bed cost me nothing since I have no assets. As for you, $10,000, $20,000, it's up to them. Then when you're broke, it'll be down to the red sector. You've heard about that, have you? I bet you haven't. I pushed it all up, you see. It's too big a scandal. The prison's two sectors. Black, this one, the top floor is the building, and the red sector, the basement and below.
Oh, be quiet. I'm thinking. Give me a pen and paper.
Give me one good reason why I should.
I wish to contact my lawyer.
Cost you. You reckon I owe you for, say, £200 on the top sheet, you know, the next sheet and rent a pencil for 20 minutes.
Oh, this is a stupid conversation. I don't wish to continue it.
You're going to have to learn to haggle, mate. I mean, I'd never survive down there in the red, neither would you, you know. I mean, it's wild down there, out of control. Word is the company will lose their contract if the truth gets out. Costing them a fortune, it must be, I mean. Destruction, man. Wait till you hear the screams at night. Killings, you know. Guards daren't go down. I mean, 68% HIV positive last time anybody checked. 54% with full-blown AIDS. If you have flu, measles, anything contagious, you can kiss your ass goodbye. They'll kill you within hours before your bugs kill them, say. Why, they've got no to lose.
I'm aware of the system. When prisoners go broke, they lose their right to protection. They lose their right to laundry, food, housing. Well, that's how it is out in the real world. Why should prison be any different?
Oh, it's one way of looking at it.
It's my way.
And you're a gentleman.
Well, at least I'm not an animal.
Well, my parents were killed in a plane crash and I was raised in the wild by gerbils, so go figure, you know. Oh-ho-hoo! It's so good to have company. You think I'm mad?
It's the only charitable explanation.
I see, I'm saying.
Then hanging is too good for you.
It's too good for most of us. You read about me, didn't you?
Well, 20 years ago. The books.
I was the most talked about youngster since Shirley Temple, though we were seldom spoken of in the same breath. I've been in isolation for 20 years. In that time, I have spoken in total, including psychiatrists and visitors, to 47 people, 31 of them in the first 10 years. You're fresh meat, Mr. Gray. How do you think I'll do?
How do you live with yourself?
I never speak to me in the mornings. How do you live with yourself?
Well, that's a privilege. I always thrive in sophisticated company. What are you doing?
Praying. Thanking God for a friend with a sense of humor.
Attention. Chief Prison Officer Diamond speaking. Prisoner Skank will make his way to the lift. You other prisoners have 5 seconds to disperse. If you're not a minimum distance of 10 meters from the lift doors, you'll be shot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Clock, open the lift doors. Skaggs, enter the lift. Mr. Clark, close the lift doors. Okay, bring him up. Place him in this trace and bring him to my office.
You want to read a joke book? They don't mind me living in the past. It's the present they're trying to deny me.
A pointless exercise for you. Like reading about the moon. I'm never going to go there. 10,000 jokes, toasts and stories. Published Copeland, Garden City. Home and school humor. Races and nations. Negro. Jewish. Why? Why collect jokes?
History is written by the victors, but everyone tells jokes. Jokes are profound. I became sane by studying comedy. Tragedy just made me laugh. Look, I'll tell you a joke on any subject, you name it.
The moon. A Jewish joke.
Abe is sitting sewing in a crater on the moon. Little bloke, elderly, blue pinstripe, cross-legged, sitting sewing, oi, such material, see how it hangs, like a Rembrandt it hangs, we're not talking schmutter here. In a crater on the moon, he's sewing. Suddenly, up in the sky, there's a blinding flash of light, and there is a spacecraft. Abe stares, sews, sews, and stares. The spacecraft lands, the hatch opens, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, and outbound two spacemen, bong, bong, moonwalk, moonwalk. They bounce up to the edge of a crater and look down, and there's Abe, glasses on the end of his nose, sewing away, oblivious. First spaceman says, "Who the hell are you?" Abe looks over his spectacles and says, more to the point, "Who the hell are you?" First spaceman looks at second spaceman, he says, "We're cosmonauts." Abe sighs to himself, he says, "Cosmonauts, schmosmonauts, I advertise for machinists."
Hours of fun. Where's the profundity?
It didn't take hours. It took 48 seconds exactly. And what's Abe doing? He's creating his own normality in the prison of chaos. And that's deep. That's life.
Take a deep breath, Skaggs. Sweet, eh? Or fill your lungs.
What do you want, Diamond?
Well, not even a thank you for lifting you up into the sunshine.
For what? If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in the red sector. The dope, the kickbacks, the graft. Without you and your kind, I'd still have some credit left. Mm. I'll bet you're pig-sick about Mrs. Chubb's clean-up campaign, eh? All the little fiddles are out in the open now, legit. No more sly deals and under-the-counter packages, eh? Now it's all itemised bills and have a nice day. I bet your nose is right out of joint.
Shut up and listen, Skaggs. You good at supposing?
Oh, highly skilled. In a drama class, I were a tree for 20 minutes once. Go on.
This conversation never took place.
Just as well we weren't here at the time, then.
If a substantial amount of money was credited to your external account in a legitimate way, you'd be back upstairs in no time.
Who'd do that for me?
Hubert Gray has a lot of enemies on the outside. He knows too much. He could implicate half the government and the royal family if he chose to. Up till now, he held his peace, thinking he'd get out. Sooner or later, it's going to dawn on him he's been shafted. Then he'll squeal. They'd like him killed before he does. They've asked me. Now I'm asking you.
Oh, Trixie. So you'd bring me upstairs to do the job and leave me there afterwards?
Scout's honour.
Suppose, for a moment, I'm daft enough to fall for it. Probable sequence of events? I top him, the guards top me. There's no evidence to implicate anyone. Thank you, Lee Harvey Oswald, and good night. No way.
Don't suit yourself, Skaggs. Bye-bye.
You bring him downstairs and I'll take care of it. But, of course, if I do that, there's no way of knowing that you'll give me the money.
You'd have to trust me.
So, that's the score. Bring him to me, down in the red, and I'll eat his balls before your very eyes. Anything to get out. Because this place is going to kick off at some point. You do know that. Major bloodshed.
Oh, I'm sure the governor's career won't suffer if it does.
Oh, you do, Ater, don't you?
I should have had that job. And I will. Eventually. Mark my words.
So just you make sure you're on my side when the time comes.
Joke, 25,068. Nice number, 68. Different to 69. 68 is, you go down on me and I'll owe you one. Yeah.
My lawyer assures me...
Don't call Simon, is he?
Simon
says change the bloody record.
I must warn you that I intend to report your attitude to the highest authority.
Well, give him my love.
I will not have great featherhead stuck in my milk bottles guzzling the cream.
What do you say?
Nothing.
Spit it out. It's not a laughing matter, son.
It's that landlady. It's her who encourages them round here.
Mad as bollocks. Hancock! Anthony Aloysius Fidget Hancock. Christ, he's got me at it now. I have to get out of here.
Well, remembered, Mr. Gray. Monsieur Eddie, is it who let him in, who let him leave?
Shut up! See who play fully for a vision while I'm turning up. Mr. Diamond, I cannot concentrate on my appeal when sharing this cell with a lunatic.
Quite right. It's a sheer madness, sir. Have a care.
Be quiet, you fool!
Oh, you put it about that I'm balmy.
Governor's orders, Gray. This is your accommodation. Temporary measure. Normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. So kiss my arse.
I am Hubert Gray. I know what you're after. You're trying to keep me here, make me mad, steal my money, a war of attrition. But I'm an expert at all this. You forget, I started with one shop, my father's store, and I built an empire. I know this system better than you do. You think you can control me? You think you have the power? But I still have the purse string.
And the purse. And it suits you. It really does. And hang on to it, because without it, you'd be in Queer Street. It's only your money that's stopping them locking you away and forgetting all about you.
You're still right. For once. It would serve them right if I stopped signing the checks.
Oh, you can't. Or I and who are this place? Only prisoners with a medical certificate like me can stay in the black sector at the state expense. A rich man like you, if you stopped paying, you'd go down to the red sector. No questions, mate. Written in stone. Even the governor couldn't change that. That's the cornerstone of their philosophy. The right to choose. You choose not to pay. They've got no choice.
Well, why not? I'll show them my power. I'll show them who they're dealing with. I'll stage a takeover. I'll make this place mine. Then I'll have to start paying attention. Of course, I need a lost leader. Something I can sacrifice to get custom, some piece of old toot I can slaughter at a knockdown price. But that's it. I'll get Marchmont onto it right away. Bloody useless bastard parasites. I did my earnest money for a change.
You've got a funny colour, mate. There's several colours. 40 shades of green. Are you Irish?
I'm dizzy. Heart banging away.
Like the big bass drum. Whoa, hold on. Have a glass of water. Come here. Yeah. Legal frenzy? That's what you've got, you know. It's the oldest jokes in the world. Lawyer jokes. Hated through the centuries, those boys. There's a boat full of shipwrecked sailors. One of them's a lawyer. Surrounded by sharks, lawyer falls in. Sharks head for him, mouths open. At the last moment, they swing away. So they haul him back in. And one sailor says he was lucky. The second says, look, nothing. That's just professional courtesy. Oh, there's a piece about you in the paper, by the way.
I'll read it later. A headache.
Oh, I'll do it. But the ramifications of the collapse of Hubert Gray's empire will ensure that the story of the Prime Minister's nephew and the crooked arms deal is one which won't be forgotten in a hurry. It remains to be seen whether the incarceration of Hubert Gray has any worthwhile effect other than to silence the man most capable of naming names and pointing fingers.
You see?
See what?
Well, it's obvious to everyone that I've kept my side of the bargain and handsomely.
Bargain.
Bargain, yes.
Who is?
With them all. The chaps. Oh, why am I talking to you?
There's nobody else here.
But you. I remember you.
Frank Ifield, I didn't know you did impressions.
You painted clown makeup on their faces. The police found the bodies posed around the table like a tea party.
You've gone as white as a sheet. Here. Sit down. Don't worry, you're not intruding. I've got nothing else on. No women hidden away.
Women? My wife has visited me once. The only letter I've had has been from my grandchild, Caroline.
Yeah, I saw...
Don't go near her!
Hey!
Don't even look at her photograph. I'll kill you.
I was a child myself when all that happened. It wasn't about children. It wasn't about any of that.
They'll never let you out, even if you were cured.
Whatever that means.
Wouldn't be right. You'd never survive. You'd never survive.
I could try. Just talk them.
Oh, what did they say? Spy on Gray and we'll help you.
No. It's just talk anyway. There's always talk. There's been talk for years.
You'll be the subject of scrutiny, people wanting to know who you are, what you're really like.
I am a chartered accountant, but I'm thinking of becoming a gorilla.
The point is, lad, you've been in various institutions since you were 12 years old, right?
Right, Bob.
You're unprepared for the outside world. They say you're better. You think you're better?
Better than who? Huh? Good, better, best, never let it rest. Never sure if to really work. Good, better, best. As a patty bloke came to our school and wrote that in my exercise book. You know how as a kid, when anybody comes to the school, you think they're famous, ask for their autograph. But this silly sod wrote it all down. He's a bigger fool than I was, which is saying something, because I have more practice.
The world has changed. Without a guide, you'll be lost. Where were you born?
In Newcastle. I wanted to be near my mother.
There'll be nothing for you to go back to. You left it when? When was it? 1970?
71. I know, man, 71. Years ago. Top of the Pops, Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West, that's the olden days. All the greats are dead now. Benny Hill, Eric Morecambe, Tommy Cooper, all the greats. I don't feel too good myself.
You've had no kind of life in here. You'd be better off dead.
How kind of you to say so. Why the interest in me?
Well, you're an interesting man.
So you're interested in me being interesting? Oh, yes, that's an awful lot of interest mounting up. You can invest that. Stocks and shares. I was at shocks and stares. I was never sure. My parents invested in iron and steel, you know. She did the iron and he did the... What's up? Why are you staring? Eh? You okay? What you doing? Your eyes are like a wet Thursday at Pilo Club. I'll stop staring. Music? Would you like some music? It's a poor gig, that, you know. Pilo, it's very poor. I look out the curtain. Out the curtain, there's about half a dozen people out there sitting in the audience. I said, you're not putting us on now, eh? There's only about six people in the audience. Did you advertise? He says, no, Eddie, I don't know how they found out. Ho-hum. Do you have the time? He's left me all alone and he knows I can only read the clock by its strike.
Have you another appointment?
Essay to write.
Essay?
M.A. Comedy in Proportion. An analysis of humour throughout the years. Central premise history is written by the victor. But everybody tells Joe.
Very good.
Stop staring.
Let's have some music. Some of your opera.
It's not mine. A bloke gave it to his... I've never listened, never had the time.
What would you rather do? Talk to Mr. Diamond?
Oh, he's a girl's best friend, that one.
Oh, is he your friend?
No.
Yeah, this is the stuff.
I've gone all tired.
Marvellous. My mother was rather keen on opera. Terribly big in Glyndebourne, so we went rather a lot when I was a lad. Never really me, though. She's had erotic dreams about the huge fat women. You were talking of?
Not personally.
I falls off a battlement at the end. It intrigued me as a child. I approached it rather like algebra. I ran a bar for 6 minutes with X amount of water pouring in, but all the time the plug is out with Y amount of water draining away. You follow? Well, I developed a fixation with the idea of a fat woman falling off a battlement, which rather unfortunately coincided with my most fervent teenage masturbatory phase. And so, this extraordinary fantasy developed. If a 22-stone, fat, sweaty opera singer fell from battlements which were X feet high onto a naked 14-year-old boy staked to the ground Y number of feet from the wall, calculate how much physical damage would be done. And whether or not the whole thing had been worth it. Well, it passed the time during the boring bits anyway. Of course, that was all years ago. Now everyone's doing it. Listen, Dormer. None shall sleep.
I'm so tired.
I'll tell you a story. We'll tell each other one. Indulge me. Transport yourself back in time 400 years.
What? All right.
Where are you?
At home. Forest. I work in a monastery, not a monk. Just work in the forest for them. Attend to the fires, that sort of thing.
News comes of the magician in the district. You invite him over.
Invite him over.
And I bring with me a black box. A magic box. No one is allowed to touch it or go near it. The box is placed in the center of the long table in the great hall. Listen.
What?
The crackling of the fire. The hiss of the logs as they steam and split and dry in the corner of the hearth. Perhaps in the minstrel's gallery a tune is being played, not loud. Triumphal. No, more the fingerings of an apprentice struggling to master a melody under the watchful eye of an older, wiser man. The lords and masters were up with the sun this morning to ride to hounds. And in the great house all is restful, with only the lilt of the lute and the murmuring of doves in distant cots to break the silence. At the end of the room, by the staircase leading to the cellars, hangs a tapestry. And behind that tapestry hides what?
What?
You, boy. The weak-kneed, small-jawed progeny of a drunken fumble. Your sagging hose tied loose around your skinny waist. Your Irish linen shirt undone. One tail twisted in your nervous fingers. Your breath shallow. Your eyes wide. What are you staring at?
The box.
The hall is empty. Why not approach it?
Well, for fear of what lies within. I have seen the magician wave his wand at it. Strange sounds came and voices too. The songs of small people trapped inside.
But you wish to touch the box and lift its lid.
Yes.
So you creep forward, scurrying past the shafts of light streaming through the huge windows, keeping to the shadows, only perhaps your ankle caught by the blues and golds of the stained glass. You approach the box.
Yes.
What do you do? Do you flee or look inside?
I wait in case the magician returns.
But he has.
Has he?
He crept in quiet as a cloud and now stands black against the sunlight, his shadow monstrous on the paneled walls. And as he walks towards you, you note the wisps of beard, the cold unblinking eyes which lock on yours as though his stare had teeth. And when he stops and speaks, you can hardly hear his words for the pounding of your own poor heart. He says, "The power is calling to you."
Yes.
Like a genie in a bottle begging for release.
Yes.
And why have you not obeyed its call?
Taught not to. Warned of the consequences. Delays and more delays. Eventually the problem will go away.
Who told you this?
My lords and masters, Mr. Diamond. Means to have you killed. Reporting back with someone. Fight between him and the governor. She wants you here. Plead you dry.
Well done, lad. You have done well. The magician is pleased with you, and you love the magician. You die for the magician because he's become your only friend.
Yes.
And yet you're scared of me.
Yes.
You've been warned to keep me locked in here because the damage I could do if unleashed would be terrifying, correct?
Yes.
But you half love, half hate me. You're overwhelmed by me, excited by the breadth of my vision and the depth of my hungers. You cannot hold secrets from me, because in the end, you will give everything to be ravished by me. Even if I fail, even if I fall, you will stake yourself out at the foot of the battlements to catch me. Now, you're to ask to see Mr. Diamond and give him a message. Understood?
Yes.
Go back and tell your masters that I own networks. One command from me, one whispered word into my wand, and every box of tricks in the land will start telling tales, spewing forth news bulletins which name names, old names, powerful names, court huntsmen. Either I get out or I start talking. Go warn them that the magician has been trapped too long within his cave. It is making him impatient. It is making him mad.
But we're not just talking money now, Skaggs. We're talking release. That's the new deal. With the date for his appeal getting nearer, the powers that be are getting desperate. Come up to the Black Sector and take him out. One more killing and you're a free man.
Bollocks. You're not going to have time.
I've told you I can take care of the Red Sector.
You can't treat people like pigs and expect them to put up with it. Pigs eat their young.
Come on, Diamond. This is not just a bloody power struggle between you and the governor. There are 500 men down there, and you've let them create their own underworld. They've ripped the entrails of this building out to make weapons and booby traps. It ain't gonna stop. Listen,
Diamond here. Yes, Governor.
What? Bloody hell. Well, Hubert Gray has just announced to the governor that he does not consider the service provided by this establishment satisfactory. He's refusing to pay his bills.
Technically bankrupt.
But that's not all. He's demanded to be moved. He's going down to the Red Sector. Transfer by request.
It's clear that the management team cannot cope. I'm being denied my basic rights. Rights which I have paid for. And I therefore decided to take matters into my own hands. You are legally powerless.
You know all about loopholes. Your speciality, scumbag.
For God's sake, Gray. They'll kill you.
In 5 minutes' time, you'll welcome me back with a glass of Santo Mino. Now, go and bottle in your office.
Our lift's here.
Last chance. I'll give you until a count of five. One, two, three, four.
Oh, Governor, water for Crispo for the Santo Mino.
Five.
Going down.
Graham never survived down there.
The way Skaggs is wired, you'll be lucky to get out of the lift. Never mind anything else.
Hubert Gray, in my power.
I could kill you right now.
True. All I know is that when I read your file, I recognized the businessman. Hence the approach to your sister and our current position.
All right. I can see what's in it for me. But how are you going to convince the lads?
I will speak their language. I see 11 and 12 should prove no bubble.
We're stopping. They'll surround you.
Then step back, listen, and learn.
And gather round. We clear a bench. Give the man some of the sun.
Get out of the way.
Well, then, here I am. Hubert Anthony Gray. A little wilder about the hairline and the photograph in recent newspapers. Not, of course, that you'll have seen them. You've been too busy rotting. Why? Because you are shit. All of you. Why? Because you behave like shit. You have grown up to be the people your parents warned you about. I, on the other hand, am a pillar of society. But I am unlike most extremely rich people in that I freely confess to also being a shit. I became a rich shit by being a clever shit. I can do the same for you. But to do so, I need you to listen to me. I think you will, because when a rich, clever shit offers to lift shit from out of the shit, then only a stupid shit ignores him. I trained as an acrobat. We'd rough and tumble for all we were worth. 5 shows a day sometimes, day in, day out, rain or shine. By the end of the night, we were dead on our feet, but the worst was yet to come. At the ringing of a bell, we begin one man on another's shoulders, a third and fourth underneath, arms linked, hands clasped, man after man, locked into a breathing, bleeding, raw bone structure, reaching for the tinted roof. Hundreds of us, a feat of acrobatic skill unequaled anywhere in the world before or since. Below were the apprentices, like myself, young, strong, stupid, and willing. And we took all of the weight. Above us were second-grade men, slightly skilled. Above them, others with greater experience, or those who knew the man who owned the act well. Get the picture? So we went up until at the top was the owner of the act. An old man with a huge appetite and the belly of a beached whale. His shape made our act all the more notorious. To make things worse, he starved us, too. The pecking order was played out at mealtimes. One winter, bitter cold and a hard frost-bitten ground, the acrobats could take no more, and we fell. My back was crushed, and so I left and took tickets at the gate. And watched. From the vantage point of the ticket booth, as I learned to shortchange the customers, I saw much clearer the shape of things. The stability of a human pyramid depends upon the strength of those who hold it up. For without the cooperation of those below, those on top lose their balance. Now is the time to use your power. And I have a suggestion as to how you begin. By imposing a little natural justice. We are criminals, but we are not beasts. Yet, beasts exist. Some of them within these walls. Beasts whom the do-gooders and the bleeding liberals have protected from the realities of life. Men who don't have a penny to their name but still receive counseling and care and concern despite the hideous enormity of their crimes. Well, no longer. Under the system I propose, all beasts will be brought before a judge and jury here
to you! Yeah. And I begin the most notorious of all. Sharpen your claws, gentlemen. For when I return, I will bring you James Davis. Any dissenters? None? Splendid. Guard, tell the governor it's convenient to join her now. Thank you, gentlemen. And never fear, I shall be back.
If you're not careful, Mrs. Chubb, he'll be running this prison in a month.
I can take care of Gray.
What about Davis? What shall we do?
Well, you don't seriously think I'd hand him over. I'm not having Gray dictate terms to me.
And why let him go down there at all?
Everyone has to pay. There can be no exceptions. In that sense, he had me over a bowel. But while he was making his little speech, I received news which alters the situation considerably. Yes? Right. Gray's on his way up. Put extra men on the gantries over Red. He's bound to have excited them.
Well, if you're determined to protect Davis, should I perhaps move him to a secure perimeter cell? Just in case we have to transport him.
Very well. For a few hours, it might be wise. But use discretion. Sometimes I think you'd welcome a riot, Mr. Diamond.
Where are we going?
Right hand.
Left hand. Can we have ice cream? Ice cream for ice cream. Come on, is it a surprise?
Just wait. Stand up.
Which reminds me of the man who waited so long he forgot what he was waiting for.
Hey? Left leg.
King of comedy, it's a bit moving.
Well, tell me you've seen it. Right leg.
His lordship got permission to bring in some videos.
No wonder the aristocracy is a laughing stock. Slip a few blueies in, did he? Couple of mother care catalogues.
Uh-huh.
Right, he's ready. Position, gentlemen. Mr. Firth, the doors. And wipe that smile off your face, Davis. You might find there's nothing to laugh about. Let's go.
You know, Bergson believed laughter was occasioned by man's reaction to an image of himself as fallible, thereby highlighting the unmechanical and unreliable nature of life. We all do. But the point about Bergson's theory is that it's bollocks. Comedy is about safety and victory and the creation of a context whereby both are possible. The condemned man who cracks a gag cheats the noose, metaphorically speaking.
Well, you better start working on the act.
I felt a bit funny when I woke up this morning.
Kitty, you can't get on stage before it wears off.
The wife says you're going to work. I said, no. She said, why not? I said, it's too foggy. She said, I can see across the rooftop because I don't go that way.
Oh! 30 years I've been in this job. I've seen all types of scum, but you're the worst. Well, it's a day of reckoning. It's time to pay. Understand? There's a man knocking at your door, and he's got a bill.
Don't be silly, get off your dock with a hat on.
So, you've proved you have courage, Gray. But what was the point of the whole charade?
Oh, no charade. Meant every word.
You promised them justice.
But justice, as they should already know, is often rough.
What happens when they find you out?
Oh, well, burn that bridge when we come to it.
What makes you think I'll give them, Davis?
Simple economics. Give them the beasts, its bread and circuses. They'll behave. The only other chance of protecting the fabric of the building is to massacre them all. This would be politically embarrassing, but more importantly, economically unsound. What you want to do is make people feel welcome and wanted.
It's worked. We have a waiting list from every prison in the British Isles.
The cost of building this place must have been huge. Next time, consider an existing site.
Such as?
Canary Wharf, Coventry City Centre, Broadcasting House. All perfect, just badly run. Now, I must return and hand over my hostage.
I saw what you did to those people. I'm not going to let you take over my prison. You'd be far too good at it.
If you return me without Davis, I'll be torn apart and you'll lose everything. Return me to the black sector, and I won't sign my bills.
As from this moment, your class is AAA, medical, under my jurisdiction. Not just segregated for your own good, but for others. Dangerous.
I'll have an independent examination and be out within 48 hours.
I doubt it.
You won't push me to the edge.
While you were pulling that little stunt, a message arrived for you.
Indeed.
I'm afraid I have bad news for you. This morning, a bomb was apparently placed inside your car.
My wife?
In hospital. Stroke of luck, she survived. Badly shocked, though. Just nipped back in the house. The police think whoever planted the bomb... They're talking about the Irish, of course. They say the idea was possibly to kill a policeman. You know, one of the chaps investigating the rest of the fraud charges. Moving the car.
But Gloria's all right.
Yes. But Mr. Jack
Meadows... My chauffeur. Christ. There's something more. I'll stand it. Tell me.
Your granddaughter, Caroline. She was in the back seat. Gloria nipped back in the house for a handkerchief. Caroline had a cold. Her nose was running. Meadows fired the engine to warm her up. I'm afraid I have to tell you I'll be refusing permission to attend the funeral. I don't think you'll be well enough.
I'd like to return to my cell now. I have things to plan.
Mr. Diamond, come through. Mr. Diamond, have Davis and Gray taken back to their cells.
Mr. Harris, take Gray.
And Davis.
Suppose trouble flares up. I thought you wanted him safe.
The whole point of putting them together was to unhinge Gray. Well, he's near the edge. Let's give him that final push.
What are you doing? Don't you see? Gray's right. If they don't let him come back, it's because they're scared of his power. But we're his power. It's us. Our strength. So let's use it. Let's take this place apart once and for all. Instead of fighting each other, robbing and raping and killing, we attack them. Yeah. All right. We've got no food. Well, we'll pull the guards off the gantries and feed off them. We can build fires. We can get into the water pipe. We can bring it all down upon us. If we have to go, let's go in a blaze of glory.
Caroline.
Shh. Hey, man. Hey, sit up. Come here. Oh. Hold on. Here, drink this. I couldn't sleep either. The witching hour. Spooky.
Oh. Get out of my room.
Talk to me. I need to learn. Have you got a headache? Sit up. Where does it hurt? I've got gentle hands.
Just the neck. Tension.
It's the lack of power gets to you. Doctor told me. Disenfranchisement. A blow.
You want to know about life? The world is full of liars and swindlers. My empire dissolves. My granddaughter dies. My son laughs all the way to the bank.
I need social skills, Derek. Let me rub your neck. Perhaps I could do this for a living.
If the press don't get you, then the relatives will.
I'll make lots of money. Become rich. Just there.
Rich? That takes talent. Balls.
Teach me. It reduced me to your family.
Betrayal and now indifference.
Oh, teach me, please. Business. Money. Millions. Listen, I know how all this works. You start sleeping all day, you'll be a vegetable in a week. You're falling apart. Now do something. Clean your teeth. You're a businessman. Haggard.
Just let me be. I'm very tired. I have a migraine. A legacy of my military service. Major, give me silence and complete rest. You're trying my patience.
Oh, really? You must come up and try mine sometime. Let's do a deal. Business. Upper or lower bunk, it's up to you. There's no difference. Well, there is a difference. $5. The lower berth is higher than the upper one. The higher price is for the lower. If you want it lower, you have to go higher. We sell the upper lower than the lower. Most people don't like the lower upper, although it's lower on account of being higher. When you occupy an upper, you have to go up to bed and get down and get up.
I said be quiet.
Don't sleep. Let's talk.
but I've never had anyone to talk, just talk about anything. I'm interesting. I'm a person. I murdered little girls. I'll tell you about it. It's a laugh.
Ah, you sick piece of shit.
The first one was an accident. I swear it. She got frightened, lashed out. I hit her. She hit me. She drew blood. I drew blood. Head was split. Bullets flew. After that, we just naturally got to fighting.
Strangle them, children.
I won't hit back. I'm a man of peace now.
You made them up with lipstick and mascara and set them around a table.
They were dead. It didn't hurt them. There was no table. The press made that up. Just chairs in a row like an audience.
To kill a child.
I'll do anything for a laugh. You're going to kill me?
Kill you. And I have a business proposition.
The boat that's been privatised already.
No, you murdered children.
Well, not full time, it's just a hobby.
The men who did this to me, I can't even cry. Water.
Here I am. You drink it down, you piss it out, you talk about it, waste the money.
Pistols of salt.
It's red in tears. We must get the theatre roof mended, Doris. There's not a dry eye on the house, bub.
Tears?
Speaking of tears, my wife was so ugly, they run down her back. It's gone back to area.
If you're released, you'll need money. Everybody does, ever since time began.
The Garden of Eden. A question. What was the first thing Eve said to Adam? My, that's a hard one. Correct.
You could do it.
It wasn't the apple on the tree that caused all the problems. Oh, it was the pear underneath. More water?
Thank you, water carrier.
No, that's Gungadin. I'm his brother, the joiner. Jammed in.
The locksmith, locked in?
The Indian karaoke singer? Get up to sing?
Toilet?
Get up to piss? Come on, yeah. Steady as she goes. Our brewer's best friend is a piss hole. Our brewer's best friend is a drain. The customers use it to empty their bladders, then go back and fill up again.
A brewer's best friend is a piss hole,
and thereby their profit it hangs. For the foam that collects on a piss hole, they use it for making meringues.
All present and erect.
Like a real one, only smaller.
Yeah, no thanks, I'll smoke my own.
Uh-huh.
And remember, any more than five shakes?
Chance of self-abuse.
Ham shank.
J. Arthur Rank.
Chieftain Tank.
General Bank. Yeah, a bloke goes into a bank with a sawn-off shotgun, and he says, give us your money. And the bloke says, you're Irish, right? He says, how did you guess? He says, you've sawn the wrong end off the shotgun. No, it wasn't the Irish.
No.
It was us. What?
Bells? Don't mind if I do. Ha-ha! Who's us?
Suppose you could have anything you want. Anything. What would you like most in the world?
Anything?
Anything.
I'd like a drummer.
Why?
Whenever I tell a joke, he'd give me a crash in the cymbals.
Denote your status.
Status symbol sounds good. Spaboom still sounds good. More bells. Well, you're trying to get me pissed. Two drunks on a train.
Is this Wembley?
No, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's have a drink. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, what a double act. We could have our own show. Absolutely. The first act is, I don't know, what? Who's on first? Tell me.
The Prime Minister's son.
McGregor? Oh, he's 30-odd.
No, he's baby boy, born just before the trial. The
Premier's son's Premier's son.
Then, of course, there's the Prince's children. He's in it, too, heir to the throne, selling arms to the...
Yes, to my lord, that's armless. Well, so far, that's an Englishman and a Scotsman. Who's the Irishman? What's on second?
Six children in all. I want six lingering deaths.
Tell me more about the money.
I want to know it'll be worth it. I can arrange for a new name for you. Plastic surgery, I truly can. Oh, you innocent, you child. You've suffered enough. You've paid your debt. You need never look over your shoulder again. Never have to worry another minute. No cares, no worries. Just countless, careless hours.
I never lose count.
With nothing to do but laugh. And no reason to stop.
They've knocked out 70% of the surveillance. There are at least 18 separate fires. They're burning all sorts of stuff and directing the smoke into the air conditioning system.
Evacuate the prison.
But that's no guarantee of security. Besides which, it's pissing down outside and as cold as all's heart. Those who didn't escape will probably die and vice versa. Now, I've no objection, but you're going to have to explain it to the Home Office.
We'll have to batten off the red sector.
Well, it's not as simple as that. You can design them independently in theory, but in practice, the systems bleed into each other. Opposites attract, remember.
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, that's up to you. You're the governor.
I was in strange ways when that went up. I thought I was going to die then. Will they come and save us?
How do you cope? Survive?
Like air beyond the moon? I go into my own world.
And where are you now?
I'm in the parlor. Mother and me side by side, silent. Waiting for Father.
Where's he?
In the workshop. He got blown up in the war. See, he was buried next to this bomb and could hear it ticking. That's funny, really. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Every tick a heart attack, every tock a skid mark. He gets dug out, but he's gone white. Overnight, white fright wig. He's a thin man, dresses in black with his hair. He looks like a toilet brush. And his hands shake. Well, before the war, he'd been a jeweler, made automata. But he has to get a job with the circus after the war. And he befriends all his kids. And he has some trouble. Hello, little boy, will you come in my car for a fiver? But he's a war hero, so it's all hushed up and we move house. And he's still making clockwork figures. He's got me and my mother sitting like tins of milk, scared to breathe. Violence. I always hated violence. And one day I hadn't moved for 2 hours. I was looking at this toy, this child, this figure he was making. When I heard the cellar door go and Father came up, leading a little girl up by the hand, and she was crying and walking strangely, and I knew lots of kids came to the house after we met them, and my mother knew it. After he died, I was playing in this old mine shaft once, and I met the little girl, the one who'd modeled for him, the one. I told her jokes, and she started to laugh. And then she asked my name, and I told her, and she realized who I was and who my father was, and she began to cry. I put my hand over her mouth and held her very tight, and after a while she stopped. I left her there thinking she'd be found, but she wasn't. Well, the grill that led to the old mine had a lock. Well, I'd watched my father in his workshop. I knew how locks worked. So I made a key. So that's where I kept them. That's why I made them laugh. Put them out of them misery. Getting closer. Can't be much longer now.
Well?
They're going apeshit. We can't contain them. Our only option is to call in the army.
Oh, I'm finished.
And this.
What?
One last chance. You could go down to the Red Sector personally. With a full SWAT team, of course. The personal touch, appeal to their better instincts. That's what I'd do in your position. If it doesn't work, then I suggest we gas our lot of them, let the fires rage and destroy most of the evidence. Claim it all on the insurance. Of course, you're going to have to write Gray and Davis off. If we kept them at the perimeter, we could have got them out. But now it's too risky.
I'll take a team in. A beautiful calm. But if it turns nasty, take them all out. Shoot to kill.
Don't worry, Governor. You can count on me.
What's green and invisible?
I don't know.
This cabbage.
Oh, sing us another one, do.
I can't think.
What happened to 30,000 guys?
I ate them. I was hungry. I'm sorry. Do you think they tell jokes in hell?
Well, they sell jokes in hell.
Expensive?
That depends on the wages of sin.
The wages of sin are death.
Pardon?
Death.
Pardon?
Death. I am scared of that.
Now, tell us a joke, a good joke.
Dead good joke. Okay, two kids have the same birthday. The one says, what did you get? A bike. A bike? Is that all? What did you get? Oh, color TV and video, hooks up in the games console, play the sound effects for the hi-fi, the compact disc player. The other one says, TV, video, computer games, compact disc system for your birthday. Oh, I wish I had leukemia.
Oh, now, that's sick.
Oh, the kid is sick. The joke's all right.
Well, tell me a story, then.
Now, you told me...
What about?
Anything on the subject.
Comedy?
Violence.
Power, corruption?
That's not a joke. It's a career.
I once upon a time, there lived a great clown. He was so great that he was admired by everyone, and on festivals and holidays, the streets around the theatre where he performed were thronged with ardent fans.
Mm-hmm.
Those lucky enough to get tickets crowded inside and never complained of the stifling heat or cramped conditions, but instead waited in respectful silence for the master to emerge. For in this clown, the people found a confidant, a philosopher, and a poet, as well as a buffoon. Eventually, the lights dimmed, and the crowd fell into a rapt silence. The clown was seated center stage alone in a pool of light. He was wearing his famous costume, the clothes of the city gent brought down by circumstance.
And eventually the clown noticed the audience for the first time and extended his hand in friendship. Oh, the audience laughed, but no one took his offer.
The pain in his eyes only added to their enjoyment. The clown offered his hand again, and then a third time, but still no member of the audience was brave enough to shake it. Suddenly, something caught the clown's eye, something which seemed to be located in his sleeve. Cautiously, he investigated and smiled at the audience as if to say, I have a secret hidden here. And the audience laughed, for they knew the clown always had something up his sleeve. The clown peered again, carefully and almost bursting with joyful anticipation. He coaxed his secret treasure down his sleeve and into the palm of his hand, still hidden from the audience. With eyes twinkling and the merest invitation of an eyebrow, he sought encouragement from the audience. Should he? Yes, cried a few. Should he? And never a word spoken. Yes, go on, go on. Show us. With an in-breath of excitement, in one sudden movement, his hand sharply slapped his forehead. The crowd saw his surprise, a frozen moment about to silence. The clown still smiled, childlike, wide-eyed, waiting with held breath for his reward. The audience sat stunned as they watched the blood spurt from the clown's forehead. The clown put a finger to his forehead and found the blood. As he touched it, the flow seemed to increase until a red well sprung from his forehead and ran down past his rheumy eyes, over his rouged cheekbones, past the magnificent black moustache, through the stubble under his makeup to drip from the point of his chin and land in the center of the circle of light, red and glistening, and running into the cracks of the stage. Your turn.
The silence was broken by a gasping but irresistible, stifled giggle from the clown. The effort to contain such unbounded joy was impossible, and the laughter, hesitant at first, infected the audience, who were soon joining the clown in unbounded, joyous, teeming, liberating mirth, until the stage was awash and the tears of laughter mingled with the blood to form a huge, pink, glistening puddle on the floor.
When the lights dimmed, the audience applauded rapturously. Backstage, as the clown peeled back his moustache and wiped the creased paint from his forehead, he heard a knock at the door and bade his caller enter. The door revealed a young man, a kind of peasant boy, whose graceful ugliness complemented the guns and knives he carried and used so casually. Meeting the boy's gaze, the clown held out his hand. The boy made to shake the proffered hand when quickly it was withdrawn, and the clown had conjured...
A cutthroat razor, which he placed slowly on the table. The boy moved to take it, but the clown halted him with a barely perceptible shake of his head.
A second time, the clown stretched out his hand. The boy hesitated but moved again to shake the hand of his hero. Again, with swift magic, the hand now held...
An extended flick knife. The boy's eyes lit up once more as they steadily followed the knife as it was laid beside the glinting razor.
The gaze between the two was held as the clown extended his hand for the third time. This time, the boy waited, unerring.
Slowly he extended his hand towards that offered. He never took his eyes from those of the clown, bleary with makeup, yet still strong, bright, and innocent. The boy's hand was almost closed on that of the clown when, with the inevitable flourish of a magician, with deft precision, he planted his third and final gift in the hand of the boy. Tearing his eyes from the master, the boy looked down. He started, then smiled, as he saw that in his hand he held...
What?
A riotous bunch of flowers.
Thank you for your patience, gentlemen. I'll be making a full statement when we have a chance to ascertain all the damage. But for now, the facts are these. The red sector of the prison has been destroyed with a loss of almost 500 lives. The gas explosion caused most casualties, and we'll be having talks with the Home Office and our insurers as to how the company will be recompensed. As to your earlier question, there were only two casualties in the black sector, the prisoners Gray and Davis, both of whom died in the wave of attacks which took place until order was restored. Tragically, our governor, Mrs. Josephine Chubb, was also killed in that spate of violence by a prisoner named Winston Skaggs, who was immediately shot dead by our officers. I wish to state that the rumours of mismanagement of the situation are unfounded. And it's, in my opinion, in very poor taste to cast aspersions or start trying to apportion too much blame until we have all the facts. Suffice to say that despite her lack of experience relevant to this exacting post, Josephine Chubb was courageous and a very valued colleague. She'll be sorely missed. Now, as to your inquiry about Hubert Gray, it is true that at the time of his death he was classified as a ward of the prison's hospital wing, and therefore the prison does stand to inherit much of his fortune. At least that's as far as I understand it. I'm not a lawyer, I'm just a prison officer. And acting governor. So that's it. Order has been restored, and a full statement will be issued as soon as possible. In the meanwhile, it's business as usual.
In The Incarceration of Hubert Gray, Nigel Anthony played Hubert Gray, Sean Prendergast, Davis, Philip Anthony, Chief Prison Officer Diamond, Geraldine Fitzgerald, Governor Chubb, and David Thorpe, Skaggs. The play was directed by Adrian Beam.